The following presentation is brought to you by RITA, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about RITA or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy the following presentation of What is Astrology and What is It For? Part 2 by Dane Rudyard. This talk is 27 minutes long.
I wonder how many of you have ever taken in consideration the problem which is involved in a tiny little word, my, M-Y, mine. It's quite remarkable how few people have ever understood or taken consideration the fact that it may mean two completely opposite things. You say, my firm, my business, well, not my business, but my firm, which are unemployed there, my nation, my religion, and you say also, my dog, my hat. Do you see how ambiguous the term my is? In the first place, you say, my nation, it doesn't belong to you. My nation, but you are a little part in it. You realize that you belong to it. But when you say, my dog or my hat, it means that things that belong to you, so that you have completely opposite meaning in using the same word, my or mine. Now, this is semantics if you want, but it is a very important kind of semantics. Now, the reason why I brought that in is because I think that it is very important that you come to the realization that you are what in your heart you belong to. Every human being has a sense and a feeling and a need to belong to something. But the question is, what does he belong to? Now you can belong to a family, you can belong to a nation, you can belong to a community, you can belong to a religion, and so on. But what you are is the sum total of all your belongingsness, you know. Not the belongings that belong to you, but what you belong to. And if you want to expand your consciousness, if you want to expand your total being, what you have to expand is the sphere of that to which you belong. An atom belongs to a cell of which it is a part. The cell belongs to a body of which it is a part, you see. But the atom probably is not aware that it belongs to a body because it's so far beyond it. We belong to a community, a little tribe, if you're in ancient day, or a family, close-knit family in many countries of the world today, not too much in America, but still in a sense. And most people have absolutely no sense that they belong to a nation or to a culture. They take for granted the thing is there, but they don't know anything about it. All their belongingness, their sense of belonging, is to that small unit to which they know that they belong to, of which they are a part, a functional part. Now, if you belong to a nation, you should be able to function within that nation. Theoretically, if you are a citizen, at least in the United States, so-called democratic country, if you are a citizen of that country, then you can vote, and therefore you can function, at least in a very small way, into that country. So that you are actually belong essentially to the thing that you are able to function in. Now, one of the problems, you see, what you find so much in modern youth, particularly, well, still now, but even more, perhaps, 10 years ago in a period of crisis, and the sense that they didn't want to belong to their family, they didn't want to belong to their culture, they didn't want to go to belong to the world of business and rat race and all those things like that. Very little idea of belonging to a nation in a really essential way, because they didn't even want to function in it in too many sense, because to them it was a not the kind of entity to in which, or the kind of pattern or kind of quality of existence to which they wanted to belong. Now, when that happens, you find yourself, of course, in a very difficult situation, where you become alienated, where you become hanging in the air without any roots, and with a sense of isolation, and therefore a sense of unhappiness, because man finds fulfillment and finds happiness in a relationship. So that astrology became a very valuable thing, though they didn't know very much why in most cases, to the young people, because it gave them a sense of belonging to certain groups, the group of the people having their sun in Aries, the group of the people having their sun in Gemini, the group of people having this and that and so on, and then in a certain sense belonging to the universe, because the realization, you see, that it is the same Jupiter, it's the same Saturn, the same this and that, which is operating in you, in your thought, as it is in anybody's thought. And therefore, if that is the case, if those power, those energies, everybody's using the term energy now, all those energies are functioning in all people, then you can very well get completely alienated with them, because they are all part of the same thing. So you begin to belong to human nature, and the return to natural life, return to free use of sex and all that, was a more or less unconscious desire to find those things to which all the people that you connected with also belong, in a very natural, inevitable, evident kind of a sense, you see. So that if you make love to somebody, that person may be Chinese or maybe Hindu or something, still there is a common humanity which is there, into the fact that you find fulfillment, you find a sort of unity, whether even if it is only temporary, but you find a unity in the fact that you both belong to human nature, and you can both function in a human sense. And for people who have become over-intellectualized, who have become therefore separated by all sorts of gimmicks of the mind, as well as of the social order, then, of course, that withdrawing into the root realities to which we all belong, inevitably, obviously, that, of course, can be a very wonderful experience, because, I am not alone, I am not alienated, and that is one of the reasons, I think, why astrology has become so popular, because of what it implies, instinctively, even though it does not say it clearly to most people. You see. And I think it's a very important thing to realize that. Now, when you began, you were speaking about astronomy and the process of the development of astronomy and so on, then, of course, you are dealing with a situation where, again, you are dealing with the development of a mentality which can link all human beings in terms of mental research and mental discovery. and mental realization of what the world is about. As astronomy discover more and more facts, or what it considers facts, through its instrument, then it expands the field of the universe. It particularly gives a clearer picture as to the relationship between the little hole and the greater hole in which it is contained, and the greater hole being again a little hole into a greater hole, and so on. That holarchic, holistic kind of approach to life, hierarchical, if you want, though that term is not too much loved by many people, but all existence, all the universe is hierarchical, because always you have a small hole which is contained within a larger hole, and so on and so forth, forever. So that as mankind develops a more complex kind of an inclusive kind of intelligence, which is able to formulate its discovery and its experience in terms which are available to anybody who has at least a somewhat trained mentality, then you see you are also raising the possibility of belonging to something which is greater than what you ever belonged to before. The man who was at first a believer in astrology in tribal world of 10,000 years ago or so on, lived within a little local sphere, and he could only belong to that earth. This is my land, this is the land of my ancestor, I'm bound to them as my roots and all that. Those planets, they are moving around, they are shedding these things, it's their universal forces, but they are all directed towards there. I am the center of the universe. Every tribe of the world has always at the center of its village, a place which is to them the center of the world. You find it in the American Indian, you find it in all African tribe and all that. Because it is the center of their world. We always live in the center of our world. And it, what we consider our world is what you are able to see and experience from that center. It's the mandala idea. You are the center of the mandala and you see certain circumference. And within that, everything that is included, that belongs to you. You are belong to it and it belongs to you potentially. You are related to it. Now, you see, as you expand the sphere from a local thing where you have only the little earth with a little globe of stars and planets moving around it, very small things, you know, you come into the idea that the planet is a globe and the planet Earth moves around the solar system, then the possibility of belonging to a planet Earth, big things where all sorts of human beings live there, some have feet up tight up there and other feet up down there, you know. And have you ever thought that if you stand up and you prolong your spine, passing through your feet and your column there, and go to the center of the earth, and you reach the feet of somebody standing at the antipodes, so that your vertebral columns, you see, are identical. Those realizations create a belongingness to a larger things, which we call humanity, mankind. And it only began with the concept of began a little bit in the Roman Empire, and especially later on during the Renaissance, after the travel around the world, Magellan and the discovery of America and so on. So now we get out of space. We see the Earth as outside of us. If we don't do it ourselves, at least the TV shows us those people who have those experiences, who share those experiences with them through our instrument. Our consciousness expands. And with that expansion, of course, the field of astrology also expands. The old solar system was between the Sun and Saturn. And in a very real sense, that is the field of the solar system. It has been said recently that the solar wind, that is to say those magnetic emanations that come out of the Sun and give power to everything through the planet, do not reach farther than the orbit of Saturn. Saturn, the symbol of boundaries, the symbol of the ring planet, you know, the ego, everything which has a particular field of activity which remain a field of activity insofar and in as much as it is bounded by definite boundaries which establish a definitely distinguishable difference between what is inside and what is outside. What is inside of the tribe is all family, and what is outside of the tribe, enemy, or his potential enemy. And what is potential in that world of life and the biosphere is, you have to be careful. So that is the real solar system. But the moment you begin to break down that focalization on the family, the nation, the tribe, and all that, and then you go into the more global things with the discovery of the solar system and so on, then as that takes place, man, through his mind, makes new discoveries, build new systems, and so on. And so he begins to discover that the sphere of the fixed star is not just one kind of little sphere that is moving around the Earth like the sphere of Venus or the sphere of Mars or the Moon and so on. You discover that it is really a galaxy, that is, it is really a cosmic whole, which has definite shape, and that the Sun is circulating around it in 200 million years about, a long time, but it is a definite whole in which therefore we can begin to see ourselves apart. The moment you do that, you see you are expanding your consciousness so that it doesn't even reach only to a system which has a very powerful Sun at the center, drawing to itself everything in the system, giving to of its power and energy to everything in that system, which is the old concept of the divine king that owned the land and owned the people, you know, autocratic god and king by divine right and all those things, which is a perfect symbol of the solar system, or the solar system being a perfect symbol of the social order of that type. Then you can begin to get a conception that that too is only one little part of a much larger whole, and that the Sun is not merely a Sun, the autocratic power of the whole solar system, separate from everything else, all by itself, isolated, Sol means Sun, you know, but that Sun is also a tiny little star, and that star being one of myriad, billions of stars in the larger whole, which is called the galaxy. And then the moment you do that, you see, the moment you begin to realize that, and you begin to see that there are all sorts of problems coming out of that, out of the Industrial Revolution and the modern science, which made it possible to realize what the galaxy was, to begin to, possible to discover Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and so on. Out of that very development, expansion of the consciousness of man, then all sorts of problems arise, all sorts of matters that have to be solved. How are you going to solve them? And the sky, at the same time that it provided that expansion of consciousness and the problem that comes with it, provide also a words of a language which is larger than the old language, and which enables you then to interpret, to give meaning to those crises and of development which lead from the lesser allegiance to the greater allegiance. But you see, the real freedom, the real purpose of freedom is to be able to change allegiance, to move from a level of a lesser allegiance to a level of a greater allegiance, to move from the tribe to the nation, to move from the nation to the earth, to move from the solar system to the galaxy. But that freedom causes problems. It causes crisis, because you have to make decisions in terms of the new allegiance, of the new vision, and how you're going to do it, how to interpret it. And then you have those planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, who become the significators of the constructive or destructive view that you can make of that new freedom. They are the planet of crisis, which is the planet of transformation. And therefore, you begin to realize that what you should have realized long ago is that when you are dealing with the relationship between a little whole and a greater whole of which it is a part, there is around that little whole always an area, a zone of interchange in which the relationship between the lesser and the greater essentially take place. And that is really, in terms of a human being, what we call the aura of a human being. The aura of a human being is that area around its body limited by Saturn and Jupiter, you know, the bones and the skin and all that, that aura in which the real interchange takes place between the universe and you as a person, as an individual person. And in the same sense, there is around the solar system proper, which is limited by Saturn orbit, there is around it an aura, the cosmic aura, which represent the possibility for the greater whole to condense its factors, its power, to impress its will and its new potentiality upon the lesser whole, but also an area which shows to the lesser whole how it can move towards the realization of the greater whole. And that is what Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto always mean. It is the capacity to move from the lesser whole, which is yourself, as an isolated person, as an autocratic system on which the ego throne as a king, the self, which is the life, biological self, full of power, full of aggrandizement, full of all those things, and crystallized by Saturn into an ego form, ego pattern. You can move beyond that and reach what I call the galactic approach to astrology, and to universe, and to life, existence. And that is, of course, what the occultists, esotericists, religions speak of as the past, of course. Now, of course, you might say, well, it's all symbol, what does it mean, we have no thing. But symbols are the most powerful thing there is in the world. All cultures are based on symbols, they are based on myths. Astrology is a myth. But it is a myth which is has proven to be essential for all mankind, because it is that myth which relates man to the universe in a significant manner. Now, if you want to interpret your chart or astrology in terms of that possibility of transformation, which is now upon us, then, of course, the whole balance of the interpretation is changed again, you see, because there not only it is a matter of fulfilling what you are as a person at the level in which your society or your family or the group you belong to was at the time of your birth or at the time you grow up, but the next dharma, the next possibility is to transform and to help transform your environment with yourself. Because you can only transform after yourself having been transformed. So the first thing is transformation. And that was the great cry of John the Baptist, you know, and nearly 2,000 years ago, when the word metanoiete, which has been badly translated as repentie, but it is not repentance. It is meta, beyond nous, beyond the rational soul, beyond the traditional soul, beyond that which is considered at a certain level as spiritual reality. But those spiritual reality can become obsolete because the moment a greater, more inclusive reality takes place. And I think it is partly because mankind is aware of that potentiality of transference, of allegiance from a very limited socio-cultural entities, nation or family nation and all that, to a larger global and eventually even more than global possibility that astrology has become so popular, because It is the myth which will tell you that the universe and you are interrelated. And it is only as you operate into in terms of that interrelationship that you can fulfill the highest potentiality of your nature. How you do it, that of course is your problem. But you have to have the vision of the possibility, because no man ever achieved anything which he has not been able to dream of as a possibility. And so this, I think, is the important thing, is that you become awake and aware of the possibilities which are involved in astrology, in any type of relationship with the universe, which makes sense, which give a sense of purpose, of significance and power to you as an unfolding human person. As you do that, as you fulfill yourself, as you realize that fulfillment is a dead-end alley unless it ends into transformation, then you grow in consciousness, and you, not only in consciousness, but in will. Because consciousness without will also is a dead-end. And so you can get the sense to work with the universe, to work in tune with the universe, instead of frantically moving like a distracted ego from one thing to another, confused in terms of emotional mood and nervous restlessness. That is the real value of astrology, not to predict events, but to understand what is happening, what has happened, because you can change the past. If you see that the past was only a prelude to the future that you can now see emerging, even if it was tragedy, so what? That was the necessary step that you had to pass through. But you have to have the understanding of the whole process. And as you see it, related to the universe, related to the great motion of the cycles of the stars and the planets and so on, then suddenly you are not a little frantic little puppet moving in all directions, eclectic, but you see yourself part of the whole universe, moving with it, beautifully, harmoniously. It may hurt, but so what? And so, I hope we all move in the same way.
This is the end of What is Astrology and What is It For? Part 2 by Dane Rudjar. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudjar Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar at www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com.